There's this local electronics superstore. Maybe you've heard of it or know of it. It's called Fry's. Most of their stores are down near San Jose because that's where you can find a lot of electrical and electronics and computers engineers. But there is one in Concord, just across the bridge, actually, it's that way, near Willows Road. If you've never been there, think of it as a Walmart. But instead of having general merchandise, they carry only computers, electronics, gadgets, appliances, and other similar items. It's kind of a superstore for geeks. Now, several years ago, when I was building the computer network at our seminary at St. Albert's in Oakland, I had to go to Fry's several times for equipment. Naturally, some of their most expensive items are smaller than the palm of your hand, such as computer processors or memory. And to purchase these items, one must place an order with a salesperson, and then later, the cashier retrieves it from the cage after you've paid for it. After all, little items not nailed down tend to walk off on their own. So like any institution where one must order in person, the lines can get kind of long. One day I was in a line that had perhaps 5 or 6 people in it. The man in front of me had his 4-year-old daughter with him. This man, to pass the time, struck up a conversation with the man in front of him, and they proceeded to talk about the finer points of megahertz and latency and access times and screen resolution and other esoteric technical terms. I rolled my eyes. Meanwhile, the daughter, clearly irritated by the long wait, started tugging on her father's pant leg. Once, twice, 3 times. "Daddy, Daddy." Dad brushed her off, but she was not to be ignored. "Daddy, Daddy." Clearly unhappy with her predicament, she stopped tugging, paused for a second, presumably to get some air, and then shouted at the top of her lungs, "Daddy, this place is sucking the life out of me." You see, from this little girl's point of view, a trip to Fry's, which is some sort of Greek geek's paradise, was nothing but a really boring place for adults. Now, these days, the church is seen as kind of being countercultural in a way that is sort of negative. Society, at least in the Western world, looks at our moral teachings as old-fashioned or very out of date. It's true that some of our teachings are old-fashioned, but we also believe that the teachings are the truths that are passed to us from Jesus Christ. They are timeless and transcend whatever age we live in. After all, since when did loving God and loving neighbor go out of fashion? Those, of course, are the fundamental laws of the church, and most of us can agree with them at that level. But when it comes to specific manifestations of the laws, which are always based on these two, well, that's when people start to get a little bit bent out of shape as to one teaching or another. But the truth of the matter is that the church has always been countercultural. Look at today's gospel reading. We have these workers going out at various points in the day and then finishing at the same time. It doesn't take a mathematician to figure out that the hourly rate of the earliest workers is substantially lower than the hourly rate of those that came to the job site last. Our sense of justice and fairness kind of has that knee-jerk response when we hear about this, mostly because we, as hardworking Americans, we tend to think that we have a good work ethic, that we're the ones that are arriving earlier in the day, and that we would ultimately be gypped by the differential in wages. And we hate being shortchanged. Yet Jesus reprimands us in as a matter of fact way that not only is this okay, But who are we to complain about the wages that we agreed to in the first place? With this just one parable, we might be tempted to consider it to be a fluke, an aberration of sorts. Perhaps we've missed the point, and there's some more lofty, hidden meaning that we're just missing. Yet, this parable isn't alone. There are others that carry on this theme. In the parable of the prodigal son, for instance, the younger son claims his inheritance, squanders it on unhealthy pursuits, and only when destitute comes back hat in hand to beg his father's forgiveness. Now, the older brother finds his younger brother's behavior not only distasteful, but becomes incensed when their father receives him with open arms. And still in another place, Jesus tells us of the one lost sheep who has wandered afar, separated from the other 99 in his flock. Now, the dutiful and loving shepherd, in a rather unusual move, goes off in search of that one sheep. We question that since it makes very little logical sense. The shepherd's actions potentially leave the remaining flock, which is by far the larger and more valuable number of sheep, to the whims of some predator, or worse, a pack of predators. In all these parables, we as listeners or readers are tempted or even goaded into thinking that our system of fairness has been violated in a very real way. The early workers and their relatively low wages, the elder brother and his inheritance, and the 99 sheep and their own safety. And to rationalize these situations, we figure that Jesus is, you know, either out of his mind or he's calling us to change our attitudes in a very real and tangible way. Well, I'm pretty sure that we can rule out Jesus' lack of sanity. So that leaves us with our philosophical system, that system to which we subscribe regarding our roles in society, to not be terribly in concert with Jesus' teachings. Thus, to move in that direction will mark us as countercultural, and sometimes in a negative way. But why is it countercultural? The reason we feel bad for the early day laborers is that we are comparing them to other day laborers who seem to get more money for less work. The reason we feel bad for the elder son and the prodigal son is that we are comparing him and his steady and constant work with the father against the negligence of his brother. The reason that we feel troubled about the sheep is that we can't believe that the shepherd would compromise the safety of the 99 sheep for the needs and safety of one sheep. The common thread weaving through these examples is that we are constantly comparing ourselves to others. Are we getting the raw end of the deal compared to them? Are they advancing more than us? We do this so much, and we are self-aware just enough that we've even coined phrases for this behavior. Keeping up with the Joneses. The grass is greener on the other side. These are just two examples. The countercultural negative aspect is not that Jesus' teachings are obtuse or that they are there somehow to make us feel bad, although then all three of these, there's kind of a tinge of that, but rather we are called to approach things from a different angle. Whereas we see fairness only in comparison with our neighbor, Jesus asks us to fairness and justice without the domain of our own desires and needs. For when we take ourselves out of the equation, when we think of God and our neighbor, then we free ourselves from the bonds that tie us down, that fix us to the world and prevent us in some way from accessing the heavenly kingdom that God wants for us. This is an important point because as human beings, we must, by necessity, love our children unconditionally. For when they come out of the womb, they can do nothing on their own. For the first several weeks, they can't even hold their head up. They need everything, and what they want, they will get. We, of course, must provide for them no matter what, no matter how. And as all of you parents have known, at 3 a.m, you cannot, nor have you ever, just ignored them when they have been needed to be fed or changed or just held. This act of unconditional love helps us as parents to understand more fully how to shift from our self-centered world into a more neighbor-centered world. If we revisit my little encounter with the man and his daughter at Fry's, we see that the little girl, as with all children, did not yet have the maturity and formation to understand that the world does not revolve around her. It's funny that we often think that maturity comes with age, and for the most part that's true. The more life experience we have, the more we are observant of the world around us. The more likely we will make wise decisions, or the more likely we think that we make wise decisions. But it doesn't always work out that way. And what of the man? Was he neglecting the needs of his daughter, who clearly did not share his love for the store? Of course, all of our answers are superficial judgments, and we should be very careful how we jump to conclusions, especially not knowing the backdrop of the situation. But it was very true that the girl was not pleased with her situation, and in a rather, as a matter of fact, way, let her dad know, and anyone else within earshot know, about it. As adults, we can often think that we've graduated into knowing that what we're doing is the right thing all the time. True, we are much better at handling situations, knowing our environment, and even being perceptive to the needs of others. But occasionally, we need reminding that we are excellent at rationalizing the truth away. And of course, we can have a blind spot for some of the true teachings of Jesus Christ. If we didn't, then Jesus would not have had to use parables to help us recognize the needs of our neighbor in the first place. Not just when it is convenient for us, but also when it is a necessity for our neighbor. When we can detach from comparing ourselves with our neighbor, whether we've gotten shortchanged on a transaction, not received what we think we're entitled to, or been gypped on some other material item, it's then where we can focus on comparing ourselves with ourselves. For in fact, true growth has nothing to do with comparing ourselves with others, but really to ask the question, am I doing God's will better now than before? If we can answer yes, and it's not always easy, then we are that much closer to God and that much closer to becoming saints. It is this process that should drive us, because that ultimately makes us happier, gives us joy, and frequently gives us glimpses into the kingdom of heaven.